This is Rainmaker.fm, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at hacktheentrepreneur.com/Rainmaker. That's hacktheentrepreneur.com/Rainmaker.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am so glad you decided to join me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is the founder of The Improv Effect, a company that gives their clients the competitive edge through creativity, collaboration, and effective communication. Her goal was to help businesses reach their full potential, and my guest has successfully done this for global companies such as Groupon, the PGA Tour, Crayola, and many, many more. With techniques that she learned on the job at Disney and Sesame Street, she leads teams and organizations to achieve teamwork, creative problem solving, presentation skills, and product development sessions. She also is a much sought-after speaker and speaking coach to leaders worldwide. Most recently, my guest co-authored a book called Control Shift, the book for any day. Now, let's hack Jesse Sterenschuss. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsor, FreshBooks, not just for being our amazing sponsor of the show, but also their support is so damn good. I'm trying to get it for my year end to get done to my accountant, and I've realized that I can actually, my expenses from my bank account can be linked directly to my FreshBooks account, and it's all automatically done for me. Amazing, right? But I have a software company, as I've said, but I'm not very technically savvy. So I was doing it completely wrong, but I instantly called them and got on the phone with a real live person who walked me through it in 2 minutes, and it was immediately done and the report was sent off to my accountant. And I just need to thank them because I may have smashed my computer otherwise, and that would have been a very expensive mistake. Try it absolutely free today at freshbooks.com/hack. And join over 5 million users running their businesses hassle-free like I did today. Be sure to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. We have another brilliant entrepreneur with us today. Jesse, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. Let's jump straight into it, Jesse. As an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Wow. I think the one thing is really using improv, which is good since that's the whole basis for my business.
That is good.
Yeah, thank God. So yeah, I mean, using improv really helps me build relationships. It really helps me with setting goals. It really is what the whole foundation of my business is founded on and what I use day to day for myself.
So using improv, is this totally just winging it, just making it up as you go? Is this what you mean? Or is there something a little more to it?
No, not at all. In fact, I think that's a big myth. People, when they think about improv, they think about comedy or people sort of on the fly. But really, if you take a step back, it's about knowing a goal, setting a goal for yourself and improvising to get there and really collaborating with others to get there. So you know your team so well that you can get to the goal no matter sort of what life throws at you.
Oh, wow. That sounds like business.
Yes, exactly. That's what I mean. When you ask me that question, I'm like, it's kind of improv is life.
Yeah, it totally is. Because I mean, you hope to have an end goal, but even that goal is going to be fluid. I mean, it's probably not going to be the same a year from now as it is now because life happens. Everything happens around your business, around yourself, around your family, around everything while you're trying to achieve this one goal, right?
Exactly. And I feel like, you know, we as human beings are made to improvise every day. So why not get better at it? You know, that's what I've made my whole business based on. But if I didn't follow that, that would be sort of like I was some shifty, weird business owner that said one thing and did another, right?
Yeah, there's never been one of those before.
Never. One of that.
Okay, Jesse, there is a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have a calling to make something bigger than themselves, or they just seriously just can't work for somebody else. Can you tell me which two of these you are and when you sort of learned that about yourself?
Sure. So I'm definitely the second. I used to work in television for a while and I liked that, but I always like sort of saw things in a different way and never was really in a position to be able to speak to my ideas. And then I decided to start teaching and I did that for a while, got really, really frustrated by the school system. I sort of felt like the school system was making everybody into a bunch of robots and taking out the creativity and allowing people to really be who they were. And so I just, you know, there was one particular situation with a little boy that really, really upset me where the principal had told me, oh, you know, some kids just fall through the cracks. And I was like, okay, I'm out of here. So I just couldn't take it anymore and decided I would teach in my own way, which became starting my own business. And training is really just another word for teaching.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And
so you worked in television and then went to teaching?
Yes, I know.
I don't know, the research I was doing, I just made the assumption totally that it went sort of the other direction.
No, so I moved up to New York. I got a theater degree, so that's another kind of thing. Like people are always like, oh, you're never going to make any money with a theater degree. Ha, ha, ha. Your life's going to be a big old joke or something. Ha, ha. Little do they know now. So I went and moved to New York and started working for Sesame Street. Actually, it was amazing. It's a great job.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I loved it. However, I felt like I said, it wasn't as creative as I would have hoped. And I had a couple other television jobs. Like, I don't know what I was imagining. I mean, it was pretty creative, but I still had more ideas that I sort of wanted to share and wasn't in a position to be able to do that. And then I moved back home to Florida and went into teaching because I've always loved working with people and sort of being with them on their journey to get to wherever they need to be. So it wasn't that far-fetched, I guess. And what's nice about being a teacher is, you know, you're sort of in your own classroom doing your own thing, or so I thought. Ha ha ha, was I wrong? So then I decided to do my own thing and start my own business.
Nice. And then you quit being a teacher. I wish we could talk about Sesame Street all day, but
so do I. I could tell you stories that are hilarious.
Really? Like some awesome ones?
Oh my God. Like we would spend like the whole day deciding whether or not our new Muppet should have legs or not.
Oh, wow.
Just like, really interesting. Yeah.
A different kind of hilarious than I was.
Yes. Hilarious. Like if you were to walk in the room, you would be like, really?
This is what happens here?
Yes. Yes. And it was very serious. Very serious.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were there Muppets at these meetings? I just imagine that all the cast, everybody gets to sit in on these.
So yes, they would bring Muppets. sometimes we would go to Jim Henson. They would show us like the Muppets, like in drawers from the 1980s, which was very damaging to my childhood experience to see the Muppets I grew up in a drawer. Yeah.
That's awesome, though.
Maybe that's why I quit. I'm
sorry. It could be, actually.
Could be. I don't know. I'm figuring it all right now on the podcast.
So Sesame Street to teaching to I'm going to start my own business. Now, you've started a business unlike any I've ever heard of before.
Yeah.
And you have a history of working with some amazingly large companies. How does one go about creating... Did you create like a market for this, or is there competition within your market space? And then like, how do you present this, or how do you even get your foot in to present to like a large company?
Sure. So I'll start with how I started. Really, honestly, I started just teaching a class, an improv class locally. I knew I'd been doing improv my whole life. I started when I was 10. And always knew that improv and the skills I was getting from those classes were applicable to things far beyond the stage. I knew from being very great at doing interviews, from like really having great deep relationships with people, from sort of being okay with who I was, even if I was a little silly or different, you know, all those things kind of came from improv. And I wanted to sort of validate whether people would understand what I understood about improv by just teaching a class. And luckily they did. So I taught one class. The first class had like three people in it, like in my hometown, and three became five, five became like eight. And then people started saying, oh, well, I don't want to be a performer, but we could really use this at work. And I was like, yes, okay, they get it. I didn't force feed them the idea. They came up with it on their own. And then they honestly marketed it for me. So they said, okay, you know, come and work for us, do this, you know, do this training, but do it with a slant on business, you know, which is what I wanted to do all along. I just needed to prove that it would work because I'm not a really big risk taker. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did to begin with.
Did you sort of feel that that might happen?
I really didn't know. I hoped that it would happen, you know, and I didn't say, oh, by the end of the year, I want to, you know, be in some big company. I really set the goal as, you know, in the next 6 months to a year, I want to see if people can validate what I know is true by saying that these skills can be applied to a work scenario. And they did. And it turns out, not that I planned this, that they're your best salespeople because they then experienced it. So they could talk to it, but they could also speak their company's language better than I could because they're there every day and I'm not, you know? So I used that. And as I grew my business, I would look back on sort of the data, right, of my business, what is working, what isn't. And it turns out that giving people a small experience of what I do, whether it's at a local class or speaking at conferences or doing workshop, turned out to be my best marketing tool ever. Because what I do is so experiential and it's hard for people to understand it unless they've actually done it.
Yeah. So was the first, say, three-person class that you held, was that called the improv effect at this point?
It was not. No, it was just improv classes, probably like 9 months into it, I figured I needed to make a name for myself. And so, you know, I decided to make it into a business rather than just a little part-time hobby thing, you know, to keep me occupied. And it really just grew from one thing to the next. And like I said before, the best marketing tool for me to get into those big businesses, like you asked, was to get the opportunity to speak or to do some sort of experiential talk or workshop at a conference, because then I'm seen as an expert in front of hundreds and thousands of people who all have got a taste of something. Then they can all go back to their business. Either they are the decision maker or they know the decision maker, and they could talk to what things they got out of it, the value.
Yeah. It's like content marketing 101. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But used in, like, taken offline into the online, I mean, taken offline, yeah, from the online world of what we would just call like a blog or video blogging, or where you just, the person experiences you before they get to, and then they can hopefully take it to their company and sell it to them themselves and then come back and hire you as the expert.
Exactly. I mean, I feel like that's the best way people learn in general. That's why I teach the way that I do. I feel like the way things stick, the way you remember somebody's message, the way you remember to do something is by actually having gotten up and gone through it rather than being sort of pitched at or lectured to. And so that just made it much easier. Those people could speak to their, you know, what was their experience? What did they personally get out of it? How does this apply to their strategy and goals for their business for the year?
Yeah, that's excellent. So 9 months after your first class, you decided you needed a name.
Yes.
And that's awesome. When did this become like full-time for you as a business?
Probably my second year. I didn't make a whole lot of money my second year, but then in teaching, you also don't make a lot of money. So my goals weren't set very high. So I was like, yes.
That's a good area to come from then.
Right. So thank God my standards were low. And then honestly, it just, by probably year three, just took off. By year four, I had other people that were training for me. I had my husband running all the logistics and running the accounting because I didn't have any time to do that anymore. And it's just gotten busier and busier because a lot of times, you know, at this point, you know, a lot of it happens by word of mouth, or I'm working with a company over and over again, and, or they've gone on to work at another company. And so they've brought me to their next company or their third company at this point, you know, so it really worked out nicely. And like I said, I have goals that I set for myself. Sometimes it's even based on places I want to go. I'm like, ooh, I'd really love to go to Prague this year. You know, how can I get there?
Did you get to Prague?
Yes, nice. I've gotten to Prague and I'm going again. I'm so excited.
That's amazing.
So I love Prague. So like kind of reverse engineering, you know, oh, I'd like to go see this place, or I'd like to work with this company. How do I do that? You know, and be flexible on making sure that that happens, you know?
That's awesome. I love that. That's like lifestyle design, your business. It's amazing.
Pretty much.
That's brilliant. That's.
I feel like I've seen the whole world that way, you know?
By getting to do business at the same time.
Yeah. And business that I love. So it's not, you know, I honestly love, you know, every moment that I'm with a person, a team, a company. It's fun. I mean, I created something that I love. So, and then I get to go to a place that I love too, or haven't seen, you know, pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is. So from this trajectory to year four of it completely taking off from you getting started with three people, it sounds like everything has gone perfect the whole time. My guess is that it hasn't. So as entrepreneurs and as humans, right, in general, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong. So when you're creating a business and you are making decisions and you make mistakes and you completely sort of fail, it's hard sometimes to get through. Could you, Jesse, walk us through how to be wrong?
Yeah, actually, it's a big tenet of improv. Like, I sound like I'm some preacher or something, but I'm not. So,
it's okay.
Hallelujah. So I should put on my Southern accent. So anyway, so being wrong or making mistakes is a tenet of improv. As improvisers, we learn that to fail quick and learn from it, and that mistakes are opportunities for seeing things from a different perspective. So honestly, when I look back at my business, there are things that I've tried that have worked, and there are things that I tried that haven't worked. But because they haven't worked quickly, I can figure out, you know, how to move on quickly. Also, I try really hard to sort of be self-aware and take in what's working and what's not, and figure out which direction to push forward in.
And do you like follow your gut, would you say, in that?
I do. I follow my gut. I also try to think, like, I don't play chess, but if I imagined if I did play chess, I kind of think of it as like every opportunity, I look at it from, you know, three steps ahead in every direction that I could possibly think of, you know, and even if it seems like it would benefit me in the now, it might not benefit me in the long run. And so I sort of check my gut and say, okay, even though it feels good today, it could wind up going down the wrong path. So let's not do it, you know, because I don't have a business background or anything. I never thought I'd be an entrepreneur. I didn't even know how to spell entrepreneur when I started, you know, so
I still have trouble looking at myself.
I mean, exactly. Don't ask me how to spell it, because I will give you a gibberish word right now. So, you know, I had to trust my gut and my instinct and really stick to who I am, you know, like, I don't want to do any job, take any job where I feel like it changed who I am at its core, you know, and if it changed me from being, you know, somebody that I believe in to somebody who has like terrible relationships with people, then I don't want to be in business anymore. I don't want to be that person, you know?
Yeah. Beautifully said. And it's just to go back, the chess analogy is awesome.
Oh. I mean,
you should play like one game of chess just so you could be like, yeah, so I play chess and this is how I think of it, rather than
so
I don't
I'm amazing
play chess.
At chess. I played one time in my whole entire life.
Because it works well, though. It's true. And that's smart. It's like you're not taking the short term, make money here to, in the long run, not have it like feel right that you've done it. And that's smart.
Right. Which would be like what you were saying in the beginning is improvising, winging it. And it's not. It's saying, this is the goal. Which are the millions of ways we could go to get there? And then which is the one that makes the most sense?
Exactly. Exactly. And you say that you mistakes are opportunities, and that you've learned to figure out when things haven't worked quickly and to kind of change direction. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had something not work quickly, but your gut tells you that it's going to work and you just push through and push through and push through?
Honestly, not yet. So I will let you know when that happens, because I'm sure it will. But it really, so far, those mistakes, like I said, I've learned from them. And it might be because I'm not like this huge risk taker. You know, my business is based on people training other people. So I don't have like a huge investment in overhead. I don't have this $1 million product I needed to invest in. You know what I mean? So it's really about being strategic with people, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So let's move to, say, projects, which projects can mean anything you do sort of within your business, any new direction you take, any new service you provide. I see by looking that you teach like speaking now, you do classes like right within corporations, as you have since the beginning, the presentation skills, product development, ideation sessions, all kinds of different things. How do you determine now, Jesse, at this point in the improv effect, that a new project or a new idea and you guys should head in that direction also, or else sort of not do this one anymore and move into another direction without spreading yourself too thin and with kind of feeling like you're making the right move?
Wow, that's a fantastic question. So I would say a couple of things. First of all, we might get the opportunity for a job that falls under either the umbrella of communication or innovation, like you said, but that's a lot of stuff, right? So for me, what I might do is, if I get a job that's specifically with sales skills, and I also have a job that's specifically with maybe developers and innovation, I might choose to go in the innovation level, and I might put a different one of my trainers who really loves to do sales on that. And so I've kind of picked people to work with me in my organization who have that improv and training background, but have diverse sort of joy in how to do it. Because like we said before, improv is sort of everything we do in life. So it encompasses so many things. It's easy to spread yourself thin. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first thing. And then, you know, I've tried things like, you know, people have asked me to do courses online where there's no visual at all and teach all this stuff. And I know that it makes more sense for our business to be in person as much as we can, or with video conferencing if we're going to teach, because so much of it is about that body language and eye contact and the dynamic happening between people in the room. So if they want me to do something else, I usually decline, you know?
Wow. Just because you won't be able to provide the service that you want, or the value, I guess.
I think it doesn't provide the value in the same way as either being on a video conference or being in person. And that's a hard decision to make, because obviously like the scalability of doing something, a course, you know, a 6-week course online where there's no visuals at all would be very scalable, but I still feel like it doesn't get to the essence of what like the improv effect is really all about.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
So let's end off with success and, let's say, your career. So there's this thing that happens called the entrepreneurial gap, which is apparently this phenomenon where entrepreneurs, we get so busy building our businesses and looking to the future that every goal that we do accomplish, we just are instantly looking to the next.
Oh my God. Did you like read my diary?
And so there's this thing where we're supposed to, as entrepreneurs, stop and turn around and look at what it is we have accomplished to date and ignore what is ahead of us for this very moment, just to appreciate where we've come and what we have accomplished. And I don't think enough of us do it.
I think I'm breaking out in hives right now.
But Jesse, if we were to do this right now and you were to turn around, would you be happy with what you have accomplished to date as an entrepreneur, just right now and with the work you've put into it?
I would have to say yes. I mean, like you said, like I have a very hard time not moving on to the next thing after I've achieved something, but I would. I feel like I have really worked with a lot of people and a lot of companies, and I've been able to employ other people and helped an enormous amount of people on their journey to be more confident, to work better with each other, to have a better understanding of one another and why working with a diverse group of people is so important to both a team dynamic, their own individual goals, and even their creativity. So I feel like I've been able to do that, and I hope to be able to continue to do that as long as I have my business. It's just such a joy.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. I think you should be very, very proud of yourself too, of what you've accomplished and what you are going to accomplish. So Jesse, we've talked in passing about your business. Can you specifically tell the listeners where they can go find out more about you and the Improv Effect, please?
Sure. So you can go on theimproveffect.com on our website and find out more about us. We're also on Twitter, The Improv Effect, on Facebook, The Improv Effect. So yeah, go out and find out all about what we do. We would love to talk to you.
Excellent. I will link to Twitter, Facebook, and improveffect.com on the show notes so it's easy for everyone to find. Jesse, please just keep doing what you're doing because it's awesome to watch and it's inspiring. So, and thank you for taking the time to stop by.
Thank you so much.
Jesse, thank you so much for that conversation. That was a lot of fun. And I should have expected that, I suppose. You do own a company called The Improv Effect. You do teach people to about improvisation in interpersonal and presentation skills. So I should have just assumed that you would be kind of just knock it out of the park in an interview setting. But I didn't expect you to be that good. That was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed it. And I love the feeling when I feel like I made a friend in the half hour that I spend with you. That was really cool. So Jesse said a lot of smart things, didn't she? She did. She said a lot of smart things. But she said one thing. One thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Every opportunity, I look at it from, you know, three steps ahead in every direction that I could possibly think of. You know, and even if it seems like it would benefit me in the now, it might not benefit me in the long run. And so I sort of check my gut and say, okay, even though it feels good today, it could wind up going down the wrong path. So let's not do it.
And that's the hack. Yes, Jesse, exactly. I love the whole mindset, like you're playing chess in your business, always thinking three steps ahead, not just what is happening right now, but what will happen three steps from the action that I'm going to take today. That I think is essential to obviously being successful and doing successful things, is not expecting this one thing I do right now to pay off and be the big entrepreneurial lottery where I win and this is how it works. It's like, no, you've got to think longer term. You got to see a vision of where you want to be. And then on the flip side, as Jesse said, check your gut. And if something seems like it could potentially make you some money now, think about if it's good for you, good for your customer, good for whoever it is that you are serving, if it's good for them too. If it's not good for them as well in the next three steps, then don't do it because it won't serve the purpose. It won't serve you and your business, and it won't help your business grow and you to be successful three steps down the road. So think beyond today. Always, always. It's good to obviously live within today and live in the now sort of thing to be able to celebrate what it is we do, but think long term, think three steps down the line. So thank you so much for that, Jesse. I really, really, really do appreciate that. All right, guys, this has been a lot of fun. As always, thank you so much for stopping by. I have a huge favor to ask. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes. 2 minutes, like 2 minutes, maybe 2 minutes, 12 seconds it'll take you. I need a review and a rating. A rating review, 5 stars if you're up for giving it to me, that would be amazing. Honest review, please leave it for me in iTunes. It helps the show so much to get more exposure and to get, obviously, more listeners, which therefore brings me more amazing guests like Jesse. So please, if you are not on an iPhone, you can go to stitcher.com and find me there and Hack the Entrepreneur. Just search it, or you can go hacktheentrepreneur.com/stitcher. I guess that'll work too. But thank you so much. I do truly appreciate you stopping by and taking the half hour to hang out with Jesse and I. It has been a lot of fun. If you also want to check out the website, hte.io is the easy way to get there. hte.io. That's short for Hack the Entrepreneur. Yeah. Or hacktheentrepreneur.com. Goes to the same place. I would love to see you there. Check it out. It's on a brand new, beautiful Rainmaker platform. And yeah, thank you so much, guys. This has been a lot of fun. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.